This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Sponsored by AmeriSave, the official mortgage lender of the Miami Dolphins. Publix. To become a Publix member, visit clubpublix.com. Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood, South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination. Ticketmaster, official marketplace of the NFL. Dolphins Football, presented by the Palm Beaches.
Hour number two of the fifth quarter postgame show here on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. OJ McDuffie, Seth Levitt from the Fish Tank Podcast, Travis Wingfield, your host here from the Drive Time Podcast on the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network. Plenty of content for you guys there, as well as MiamiDolphins.com. But right now we're talking about this postgame, or I should say this game here against the Las Vegas Raiders. And, you know, Seth, it's funny because the numbers last week we talked about this were tilted so far against us in terms of the total plays. It was like 75 plays to the Dolphins 45, and the yardage reflect that. The third down conversions weren't there, but I'm looking at it right here. When we both ran 57 plays, the Dolphins and the Raiders, Miami had a better third down conversion rate, had more yardage in the game. Penalties were 4 for 24 this week. It was, I think, 2 for 10 last week, so still pretty good in that neighborhood, but it's funny to me just how the score didn't reflect the game for the second straight week, and this time it goes against the Dolphins. But ultimately, did they outplay the Raiders in this one? What do you think about that?
Did they outplay them? I don't know. I can't say that they did. But again, preseason games, I think you're watching like four or five different games. Yeah. It's just the evaluation is so much different than what we're going to see in the regular season. And it, to me, what's funny is that they both ended the same way. You know, and so it's kind of like what preseason should be. It's almost a push. You won one, you lost one, both of them with the ball doinking off the crossbar there. And it's, you know, you really are doing more individual evaluation, kind of looking at some of the play callings. The first time we've seen this with Mike McDaniel, all the things we've already talked about today. So, you know, who outplayed who, I don't even know how you can evaluate that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and you look at the penalty situation. Yeah, 4 for 24, but how big was the Coleman false start?
Oh, that was huge.
You know what I mean?
And the play before that, he got beat to the ball
to
for
the ball.
A negative
Timing's
run.
Timing's everything on some of that stuff, too, you know, when it comes to that. You know, we're going
fourth and one. Yeah, for sure.
And so,
sure.
Yeah, I mean.
Aren't we kind of over-evaluating the operation, Juice? Like, aren't we saying, you know, it's a first-year head coach. Are we saying, do they look prepared? Do they go out there and look? You know, you're not seeing a bunch of mental busts. You're not seeing a bunch of penalties. You know, right? I mean, isn't that kind of what you want to know?
That's a great point, yeah. Yeah, and I think that is, I mean, and that's the way it's been. Honestly, think about it. I mean, averaging 3 penalties a game and 2 preseason games, that's impressive.
Preseason, you could see flat now. Great. I'm sure the refs want to get out of here as well. But you could have, I mean, it's a learning process for everybody, and you could see that yellow flag all day long with a bunch of young players, and we're not seeing that.
Yeah, and I also thought there was a lot of physical play in the secondary that didn't get called a lot, you know, a lot of face guard. Maybe balls were just short and DBs are running through guys' chests. I mean, I was really shocked that there weren't more PIs or, you know, illegal contacts and stuff as well. You know, I mean, they could have called that all day, but maybe that's the way they're going to let them play. You know, the DBs have been complaining about the new rules and all this stuff for a long time. You know, so maybe they're trying to even that playing field a little bit. I hope they don't change the game plan when the regular season starts and they start calling those plays. Our DBs are physical. We played a lot of man-to-man today. You saw us in a lot of chase. You know what I mean? And that hurt us a little bit. Especially when you got some guys in that are young or guys that are brand new to the roster that were playing in chase mode a lot, you know? So it was like, go ahead, Chet.
No, it's interesting you talk about the DBs because I think it goes into a topic we should cover here with Xavien Howard obviously getting the veteran rest. Byron Jones is still on PUP, has not been activated, and if he winds up on PUP when the season starts, that would mean he's out for 4 games guaranteed. I don't think that's going to be the case. I hope it's not the case. McDaniel remains optimistic, he says. Then you see Needham take the injury today, although it sounds like it's going to be a short-term thing. Keon Crossan as well. We obviously lost Trill Williams. Noah Igbinoghene's, he's had a rough go here these first couple of preseason games, but I'm curious to get your take on this because we saw the Raiders' second team offense go down the field on largely the Dolphins' first team defense, and we've talked for 3 years now, Juice, about how this defense is funneled around 2 lockdown, physical, press premier perimeter cornerbacks. Does not seeing those guys out there and then kind of getting, you know, the ball pushed down the field on you, does it make you nervous at all for the season?
It does. It really does, because I think one of the things that I really was thinking about and was hoping is that we can get pressure with our front four without, you know, going into our zero blitz. I know we got some really incredible blitz packages. I'd like to see us get pressure with our front four and play coverage behind them. And that wasn't the case with you guys. You know what I mean? That wasn't the case. You know, I think that we can get, you know, we're going to have to bring some extra guys right now. But, you know, I didn't hear Jalen Phillips' name a lot today. You know, I'd like to see him go out there against some guys that are backups and go out there and make some plays. You know, I did see, you know, if we'd have given game balls out, I know you got the player of the game or whatever we have with Eazy-E and as a comma, but I saw Duke Riley running around.
Duke Riley is flying around, man.
You know,
oh my God!
Every opportunity he gets, he takes advantage of it, man. You know what I mean? Zach Sealer.
Get some water, man.
Zach Sealer, man. At the same time, man. I mean, he just continues to do what he does. You know, but there were some guys out there still that had opportunities, man, and big chance to play, and they came up a little short. I thought we struggled inside. You know, especially with Nick having to be outside, I thought we struggled inside. That quick slant and the crossing routes, they chewed us up today. Guys were running wide open. I don't know whose responsibilities they were.
That ball was coming out quick too, Juice. I know you're talking about Phillips.
I get it, but I mean, still, you're talking about for the rush, the pass rush.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, of course, it's coming out quick. The receiver's got a 5-yard.
But that's
lead
my
on the
point.
Damn
so if you have those other two guys in there, it's
too.
Just a whole different. Right, right.
Ooh, I'm talking about So whatever, inside though, I'm talking about the
I'm
inside.
I'm just saying,
covers.
You got to give my pass rushers a little time to get out there.
I was just checking; they did not. He was really campaigning for Phillips to get half of a sack on the one that. Who got that first sack? Oh, Zach Sealer. He was really campaigning for Phillips to get half of that because he did win his pass rush. He got back there, but they didn't
give him
credit for the half of the sack.
I guarantee if this was regular season, that would be getting sent into the Elias Sports Bureau. And I definitely guarantee you if that had been a Jason Taylor.
That dude up.
But by himself. He was all over him, but the quarterback has a chance to escape, but he didn't when he got wrapped up by both guys. Oh. That would be a split. That would be a shared sack.
If anybody knows the sack status, this guy.
I guarantee
to my right.
This dude's calling the calling the office every Monday. He's calling the league off every
Only
Monday.
Only when I am instructed to, Juice. Only when I am instructed to.
So that's the defensive
side
of the ball.
Wait a minute, did you ever call when there's a question one for JT getting, though? You never called.
If I was instructed
JT
to call.
JT should not have that one. You didn't say that, did you?
Take that one off the board for JT.
If Clarence Brooks, may he rest in peace, said, hey, Seth, call that one in, I would have been making the call.
No, that's right.
It just reminds me of the PFF conversation we've had about sacks, and that's a whole other conversation that I don't want to dig into right now, but it
don't
does remind me of it a little bit. We got
they understand sacks are an official stat, right?
Half sacks exist.
They do.
They're just making up new stats. They're making up new stats.
I want to throw some dirt on that one because I just don't want to get into it right now.
Yeah.
Okay. I do want to pivot back to the offensive side here real quick because we haven't talked about him a lot so far. He was 9-for-10 for a 129 and a touchdown pass and a 152.1 rating, and he took the team down for a potential game-winning field goal. And Jason Sanders, who was money last week, money today until that last kick, and really all camp, hits one off the upright. We thought it looked a little bit off from the original angle, and it wound up almost sneaking in there, but goes off the upright, and the Dolphins wind up losing as a result of that. But, guys, Skylar Thompson, you know, McDaniel talked about how he's getting better at things and how
deal.
He said, what was it, the first part of the, you know, the training camp process, he wouldn't have made a certain play that he did later on, that touch throw to Zaquandre White, which, by the way, that guy, the moves he put on for the size that he is on that catch was a pretty nice-looking play there. But Skyler,
are you talking about after the touchdown or to get into the end zone?
All of it. It just impressed me.
He was throwing that AB out there, too, wasn't he?
He was my West Coast of Florida guy I told you about when I asked him if he's from the Gulf Coast. He said, what are you talking about? This is the West Coast of Florida, my friend. I'm like, all right, you're the one that lives here. I don't know, or if it's from here. I should probably just trust you on that. But yeah. So Skyler, guys, you know, there was one play where he kind of got some pressure, and coach talked about him getting to the third, like same thing with Tua, where he gets out of the pocket and there's a little stick route just hanging out in the hook zone, Juice, and he's fleeing to his right, and I see the eyes go back, and I'm like, for a rookie quarterback to see that, to keep his eyes up against that rush, man, he's really impressing me this preseason.
No, he's a rookie quarterback, but let's think about, you know, his journey here and what he did at Kansas State. You know what I mean? The guy with we talked about before, was he a four-year captain there?
Yeah, he's 25 years old.
Who does that? Who's a four-year captain in college? You know, and that tells you where he was. I mean, of course, I mean, if he's 25, obviously, you know, as a freshman at 21 years old, he should have that maturity. But at the same time, though, I mean, that tells you that his game has progressed more than most guys that's a rookie in this league. And he's seen a lot and played in a good conference that, you know, that's shown a lot. So I think that he's comfortable out there, bro. He's really, really comfortable out there. The moment, the situation's not too big for him. Yes, everybody's going to say, look, it's, you know, second, third, fourth stringers. It's preseason. But at the same time, I've seen guys that are second, third, fourth stringers that wet the bed in these situations. You know, have no idea what's going on out there. You know, this guy sees it. He recognizes, goes through his progressions, runs when he has to. He only had 1 yard rushing this week. He had half our rushing yards last week.
I know.
But at the same time, though, we know that he has that in him as well. So, he's fun. He's fun to watch, man. It's going to be interesting how they handle that situation. You know,
interesting.
I know we cut down to 80 on Tuesday, right?
I think he's going to be okay.
I think he's going to be 80. Through 80. And then, you know, the further we get. But I think he's got to be a tough cut.
It is.
Cut it all. He might make the 53. He might have to make the 53.
If you cut him, he's getting snatched up. There's quickly. No way around that. There's no way that the way this league is starred for quarterbacks. The
Raiders might take him.
Someone's going to take him.
Tampa might take him.
I watched the Seahawks
game
last
this week. They might. Who knows?
Everybody has seen him at this
no
point.
No doubt about
Somebody
it.
Wants a
and
piece
he's going to get four more quarters probably.
You said a word that stood out to me. You said it was fun to watch him, and it made me think about Seth and his aversion here to preseason football at times. But and you know, we've been doing this for so long where you watch these games late into the, you know, to the night in these August games where it's they don't mean anything, but you're a Dolphins fan, so you sit there and you watch them. And you talked about it, Juice, like, we have seen operations where you cannot evaluate your team because the quarterback can't do it, and you can't even get off the starting line. So we at least have that opportunity here to watch him do that, and he's doing a lot more than that. He's really flourishing so far here. And like you guys said, typically a two-quarterback roster league, but the way he's playing, I'm not sure you can do that this year. So that's one quarterback. We're going to hear from QB1 here next. Tua's post-game media coming up next here on the Dolphins post-game show, which is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. We're also sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Raiders 15, Dolphins 13. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Post-Game Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Give your actions more traction in the all-new Kia Sportage X-Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive. With the right tools, anything is possible. And we have the right tools to break down that quarterback Tua Tagovailoa post-game press conference. I mean,
he just called me a tool.
That's what I heard.
You didn't like Consigliere, so I had to come up with something.
No, I like Consigliere. I didn't like getting Papa Doc is what I didn't like. That's what I didn't like.
What you got for us, Big Sen?
No. Well, listen, I think much like he said the game plan was, it was a little vanilla. It was a little vanilla, but it was preseason. The guy had, I don't know how many snaps. He threw eight passes. But one thing is very clear. Tua wants to get out there and play some ball. And we want him chomping at the bit. And it sounded to me like, and we heard Coach McDaniel say earlier, he didn't know till the very last second. He wasn't sure what he wanted to do, and Tua helped him make that decision, right? And so then you heard from Tua, he was excited to play, shows up at 2 o'clock, whatever it is. He lets everybody in. He opens up the gates, lets everybody in, directs the buses in, the whole thing, and goes out and warms up. He wanted to get out there, and he wanted to play. Now, I hate to break it to him. He's saying he's looking forward to getting a few snaps against Philadelphia. He better enjoy those 2 days of practice, because there's no way. There's no way. You cannot tell me that Tua's going to get out there and play against Philadelphia in the third preseason game. But, I want my quarterback to want to be out there, right? That's for sure. I love the way he talked about Skylar Thompson. He great mentorship there. He had two, he played under, or not under, but with Fitzpatrick, mm-hmm. had a great veteran leader there. I think Jacoby Brissett also put his arm around him. And so now you see Tua doing that for a young guy. I think that also shows that maturation process. beyond that, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. I mean, how many, you know, hey, Tua, right. Can you break down eight throws?
Yeah, right. Pretty much. I liked that he was asked about the pregame workout. You talk about that a little bit, Seth, and just kind of him talking.
That shows you there's not a lot to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. We're going back to the well here for like, what, a second or third time. But just talking about getting that snapshot mentally before the game to see if, you know, to be able to call out, hey, if a defender's not where I think he's supposed to be in this look, maybe that means I have an opportunity to exploit this look or, you know. And that, to me, Juice, kind of matches up with what we talked about with, you know, getting to that third option quicker. Yeah. Getting to it quicker so that it's available to make a play and not just kind of, you know, dump it off and you get tackled quickly. So hopefully that's a good sign of things to come here. But anything here, Pop, from you in this press conference? You talked about Mike Gesicki a little bit too. But anything else for you?
Yeah, I know he said that they're basic in what they're doing right now. I don't care how basic we are and what we're doing. I like to execute. You know, I still want to
look
execute.
Good while being basic.
No doubt
right?
about it, man. Yeah, I don't care. Line up and do it and look good doing it. You know, the yardage or lack thereof on the ground. It's unacceptable no matter what. We've got basically our whole starting line out there, you know, against a lot of backups from the other team, and we can't move the ball down the field on the ground, you know. So I don't care how basic our play calling was. Go out there and execute it. Line up and beat somebody. You know, football is 11-on-11, but it's really 11-1-on-1.
But did you think Tua executed?
Well, I mean, he didn't run the ball. So, I mean, I guess
I understand,
what he did.
But I'm talking about Tua. We're talking about Tua right now.
I understand what you're saying.
You're talking about the offense as
Tua's
a whole.
Tua's the one that made the comment.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm
talking about.
But I'm
talking about his
to.
Play. I'm asking you. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
4 yards in the first half. I get it, Juice.
Right.
They didn't run the ball well. But right. I'm saying, how did Tua look?
Tua, other than a couple tough decisions I'm making. I won't call him bad.
You didn't like him putting Mike in that position.
You couldn't put anybody in that position.
I got you.
I don't care if it was you out there, Big Seth.
Did you like how he talked about
not
it afterwards?
Me in that
about the conversation that he and Mike had afterwards? Because you kind of looked at me and nodded
Correct.
And talked about that a little bit.
Exactly right.
Take on that.
Exactly right. So in that situation, he said they were playing one lurk. They're playing one lurk. You're not going to throw it over the middle to get somebody knocked out. Lurker's a guy that's going to be over the middle, ready to knock somebody out. Everything's got to be outside. I'm glad they had the conversation so that Tua doesn't make the mistake again. You know, so, I mean, I'm going to tell you, me and him might have been in fisticuffs. I've had a couple conversations with Danny, you know, where it's like, yo, man, don't, please don't do that, bro. You know, you can't do that.
Did you say please?
No, I didn't say it that way, but we're on TV, on radio. But see, bottom line is Mike can't see that lurker. You know, and Tua can. So don't throw me into my rib shot. Mike Gesicki.
There's a lot of mics that have been thrown around here today. I think
McDaniel.
Yeah, maybe just straight go to last names from now on.
I'm just saying. I understand that you're on a first-name basis.
Number 88 couldn't see it, you know. And so, yeah, I get what he's saying. But so that's on – and everybody's saying, you know. And then I don't know if that – which one happened first, that one or the one that Mike turned down? You know what I mean? So Mike turned one down with same situation, right? And then the one before that, I think, is the one he got popped on. So you do the math on that, right? Which one happened first, where he got popped or the one where he turned it down from getting popped?
The turn down, I think, was first. Turned down
for what?
For what?
Yeah.
For a preseason game? That's what
Because you're
going to
get popped. Because you're going to get popped.
Exactly. That is preseason radio here in the second hour. Yeah for
so
sure.
I get it. I get it. Back to your question, though. Back to your question. Tua, I thought he had a solid game. I thought his progressions, decision-making for the most part was really, really good. And that's all we can ask for in these games with few snaps. And you know what? You know, as quarterbacks, kind of like shooters, they probably warm up as they go along.
That's also why he needs to be out there, right? I mean, I think that – so let's, again, big picture view here. A lot of talk leading up to today was – He's got to get some reps, right? Aren't we? Right. We got to see Tua this preseason. This is not a 14-year veteran. This is a guy in his third year who we're hoping takes that next step in his career and his progression into becoming the quarterback we all want him to be. Right. We need to see some snaps. He wants the snaps, and I'm thankful that Coach McDaniel gave him those snaps. But I think the things you're talking about, like the skill set was there.
Right.
Getting that ball shouldn't have been thrown, in your opinion. I think in Mike Gesicki's opinion as well. But damn it, he got it through those two guys.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the accuracy, the ability to get the ball there, but he's gotta get those reps, doesn't he, Juice?
Yeah, and I'll tell you another great point that we're missing here that's really, really important is that they didn't match personnel. Mm-hmm. So when you make a play call and you got a personnel group out there, and you think that they're going to match it, it's probably better suited for if they do match that personnel.
Yeah.
Instead of the situation. So if we got a run play on and our personnel says that and they've got a certain group out there that didn't match our personnel, run game is probably not a good – run play is probably not a good idea, especially if you can't check out it. What it would be better if they have the wrong personnel out there and you check to something that beats that personnel,
right,
where your personnel. So I don't know if they're doing that or if they're even checking something out. So say we go –
sounds to me like practice when the scout team won't run what they're supposed to run.
Oh, I get on my damn nerves, man.
He's not even trying to make the team. Juicy's got to try to hold a job. And the starters, the guys making all the money, the first-round draft picks like O.J. McDuffie here, are getting mad that they're not doing what you want them to do.
Right. Read the card, man. Read the damn card. It says what you're supposed to do, you know. But you say you go out there and they're in base defense, you know, and we got substituted wide receiver. We got three wide out there, and we try to run the ball with – why not say blocking linebackers, man? We do not block linebackers. So, like I said, when Travis gives us information on the All-22 and we can see what some of those, you know, some of those breakdowns were, especially in the run game, if we're in substitute and we got three wide receivers and they have three linebackers, we're in trouble right away.
Sure.
You never really see three linebackers anymore anyways, but we're in trouble right there. Or a strong safety down the box is going to, you know, be tough on a wide receiver as well.
It reminds me of why Edgerrin James was so damn tough for the Colts all those years ago, because defenses couldn't get out a nickel against that Colts offense because you just couldn't afford to do that against Peyton Manning and Brandon Stokley and Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. It was pick your poison, right? That's kind of the same idea there. And that also reminds me, like, maybe if you have 10 and 17 out there, you do check to a personnel beater when you don't have they're not matching personnel. And then to continue that point, maybe you can't run as much robber or lurk with 10 and 17 because those crossing routes, I mean, we saw the Raiders do it all game long.
Right.
Send those guys on a crossing route, that robber comes down, all of a sudden you got space and they're off to the races. So it's I think a lot of context has to be applied to it. But like you said, Juice, like ultimately the idea, and Coach McDaniel said this too, you have to be able to execute when the opposing defense or opposing offense knows what you're going to do. That's what the best football teams do at the end of the day.
1,000%.
So that was kind of my thoughts on that. I wanted to give you guys a couple of quick hits here on guys that I thought played well late in the game when I think the press box at a certain point maybe tuned out a little bit, Seth. I think I heard one comment saying, "You guys still watching this game?" And I thought, yeah, I'm still watching all four quarters of this game. That's what I'm here to do.
That?
I'm not going to say names, but you know who it was. They were next to us up there just slacking off and not watching the rest of the game, but I'll quit talking on them. Some guys here that I thought had nice games tonight that maybe you haven't heard of so far. Ben Stilley has become my guy, the UDFA from Nebraska. He had some moves, man. He had a sack in the game. Earlier before the sack, he had a pass rush where he did a little swim move on the guard from that three tech spot, and he put Nick Mullins into the turf, and I was like, that's not a fun hit to take ever, but especially in a game that does not count. Channing Tindall, I thought, showed some more goods in coverage, man. That speed showed up.
Wheels, man.
He came downhill on a run stuff, too. Yeah. Looked pretty good there. Yeah. I thought Cater Cahoe, the UDFA cornerback from Texas A&M Commerce, athletic ability where he fell into the hook zone, got his hands on a football, then he drove and made a tackle on a screen pass later on. Cameron Good, another rookie, had a nice play out in space on the edge on a little flare to the running back. And then Elijah Campbell, a guy. And all these guys have kind of put it together for 2 weeks in a row here now, so it's like, all right, you're starting to make a case for yourself. You build good days on top of good days. Elijah Campbell had some good coverage and box stuff as well. He did have the PBU on the Cahoe holding play down in the red zone, which I thought was a really nice looking play. And then Porter Gustin has had sacks and pressures camp long.
Yeah.
He's had two good games in a row. That's my list of guys. Any thoughts there, fellas, as far as this is mostly rookies on this list, but it's guys that are kind of pushing for that 53rd, which, you know, this is my time of year to shine with these guys deep in the roster. I love looking at these guys. Anybody stand out in that way to you guys today?
We just named them all, Travis.
Typical Travis. Typical Travis.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the 85 guys. You just named them all. You know, on the whole roster, man.
Yeah.
I tell you,
he just talked about all three quarterbacks and asked if there were any other quarterbacks that we thought played well.
Most news throw or, you know, receiver throws a pass or something? I don't know.
Travis said.
You know, there are a couple things that I really stood out to me. Other than those young guys, there's a couple things that I did notice late in the game. I noticed Preston Williams on kickoff return and punt return. I also noticed Miles Gaskin on kickoff team early. You know, guys like you're talking about trying to make a team that aren't in the – obviously, right, top echelon of the starters. You know, those guys are out there doing whatever they can do to make a roster spot. Like these young guys that are going out there impressing, man. It's a good problem that we have, that we've got some depth in a lot of positions. We're still lacking depth, obviously, in other positions with injuries for some, and some just need upgrading as well.
That secondary, but
is getting beat up right now. You know, I think our linebackers, we could do a little bit more depth, but those young guys will come around. It looks like they're coming around pretty good. And O-line, I think we got to do some, you know, some guys out there, but we got some guys that aren't practicing. But I love the young guys that you mentioned, man. I mean, they're out there.
Anybody else stand out to you, Jason?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I mean, I'm glad they have this practice squad expansion they did last year, because I think a lot of these guys are going to have a chance to get on that practice squad and then maybe be a.
We got to stop playing them. We don't want anybody to see them.
Yeah. There's so many of them. It's been it's amazing.
You can't
how
sit 20 guys and then also not play those 10, because you start to run out of people.
It's amazing to me they had 4 draft picks, and I see, you know, 7 or 8 rookies continuously making plays every week. It's impressive, and a nod again to the scouting staff to find those guys, those hidden gems, late in the draft and you know, after the draft as well.
Well, that's a fair point you just made there, Travis, is that there weren't a lot of draft picks this year when we've seen them stockpile picks over the last handful of years. And so, you know, typically you're not going to hit on every guy that you draft, but these, you know, they only drafted 4 guys.
Right.
These guys are bringing it.
Right.
Yeah. They're showing up.
Every
7th-round pick is out there looking like a real NFL quarter. I mean, these guys are showing up. And, you know, hats off to Chris Greer and the rest of the crew there. But, again, you know, it's a double-edged sword. Because, hey, we found some players, but, we only have so many spots.
Correct.
Fun scouting staff note for you guys here. So these are the guys that do the work to find these guys. I ran into Adam Ingroff from the facility before I walked or drove over here, I should say. He told me they all walked over from the facility. In this weather, that is absolutely crazy.
It's right on the corner.
Least a mile
walk.
Walked
there from Davie, if they walked there from Davie, then I'd be impressed. Am I supposed to be impressed? Like, impress me by finding the future All-Pro. Don't impress me because you walked half a block around the corner. Come on, Travis.
Hey, jeez. If you know the weather, well, you do know the weather down here, but if you, I mean, I wouldn't do it. I didn't do it. I drove over here, so that's how we do it. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Volkswagen. Also sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. It's officially midnight here in a preseason game. We can tell by the way the content's going. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Raiders 15, Dolphins 13. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here live for NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the National Football League. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets, so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And guys, we didn't get a chance to do game balls today, although Travis had about 12 he wanted to hand out. I gave about 6 of them out right there in that last segment. But we do have the drive of the game. Let's go ahead and get to our Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury. Explore the possibilities with Lexus at the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event now through September 6th. Learn more at Lexus.com/offers. And it was capped off with a touchdown pass from Skylar Thompson to Zaquandre White.
2nd and 6 from the 19 of the Raiders. Dolphins trail by 6. Skylar Thompson floats it. He's got a nice catch down the sideline. Touchdown, Miami. Zaquandre White, the running back, snuck out of the backfield. Made a nice catch. A perfect throw by Skylar Thompson.
Jimmy put some air under that. Let White run right under it. Run right in the end zone. Why? Always excited for a guy, rookie free agent, to make a play like that.
Plays 86 yards, and that touchdown there from Skylar Thompson to Zaquandre White. And Seth, the first thing you said to me after that play there was, how big is that back? What was he, 225 or?
6'2", 215, is what he's listed at. And he looked pretty nimble.
Yeah, nice footwork right there. Right? Great ball. First of all,
and he went out and
got it.
Great, that's a great ball. Nice little lead right there. Got it on the fingertips, but then to put on the brakes, you know what I mean, and to get in the end zone. I thought he celebrated a little early. Got to be careful in this league, man. They're pretty fast, man.
I thought you might like that part.
Dancing inside the 5. I'm going to get – man, my high school coach told us to run through the end zone. You know, I did that until I got, you know, later into the pros. I started dancing 15 yards
splits
out.
And the whole thing.
The whole nine. Every, you name it. The spike was always key for me. But, I mean, great throw, great grab, you know what I mean, getting in the end zone. And then once again, you know, what did Coach call him, Z-White?
Yeah,
we were confused about that at first,
Z-White.
But now we got to figure it
you
out.
You guys were.
Yeah, okay. Z-White did a heck of a job, man, getting in the end zone. But once again, we keep bringing up the same name, right? Skylar Thompson.
Good things are happening. Skylar Thompson's in the game.
I'm glad you said that he went and got it, Seth, because I was like, I don't think he's getting to that pass. And then all of a sudden, he takes a little accelerator there, learns from Tyreek Hill, and takes that sixth gear.
Well, the thing about it, he gave him a chance to get it. It wasn't like he threw a fastball at him, you know what I mean, where guys just overshoot that wide-open guy. It wasn't a laser beam, but it still had a little bit enough to go get it.
So this is interesting here, this dynamic right now, and I don't know if it's because the PM's about to turn to the AM juice, but typically, you know, it's always the quarterback's fault, the receiver, and here you got the guy who caught the ball, and we're trying to give him some praise for going to get it, and you're saying, well, yeah, I mean, of course, you got a chance.
Yeah.
See, now it's at the corner. I can't win.
I don't know, man, Seth. You know, it depends, man. It depends on, you know, the moon for me, you know.
Can you see it from here?
No, I can't see it, but I can sense it. Sense of the tide, you know. But yeah, great, another great play and a great drive, Travis. It really was, man. And you know, finally getting the end zone, I think that's our first and only touchdown.
As Tua Tagovailoa said in his presser, it was the first touchdown scored here in Hard Rock Stadium in the 2022 season.
Under head coach Mike McDaniel.
Sounded like he was doing a voiceover for the end of the year team video highlight reel.
Sounded like me on the gate loop beginning of the game out there, over my list of things you can't bring in. No, it's a 9-play, 86-yard drive, 19 yards, Skylar Thompson to Zaquandre White, and frankly, he could have made my list there of all the guys I handed out. I don't know what I called that. There wasn't
on
game
that
balls.
Play?
No, just the game he had in general. I thought he was impressive. I mean, the one play, it's like
on that
Seth,
play.
It's kind of like Seth mentioned, right? It's like watching four games out here. If a guy makes a couple of plays, I guess he only had one rush for 4 yards, and then he winds up with the one catch for 19 yards.
So,
and
yes,
touchdown.
On that play.
So, yeah, it was that play. But, you know, it's more about confirming things you've seen so far through training camp. And he's, you know, he's buried in the roster. Let's not make any mistakes about that, because there's so many backs in this team that were brought in to make this running back room better. Yeah. But he was a guy, Juice, at South Carolina that was – He would press that thing play side and get back to that cutback lane. That's what you do in this outside zone scheme. And I tweeted about it, you know, when the play happened. If he can add that element to his game, then he might have a chance here.
What he can add to his game is special teams.
There you go, too.
You know what I mean? And it's like there's going to be a huge, you know, practice squad as well. I mean, you got a guy right there that, you know, you keep making plays no matter what. They'll find a way to hopefully keep you around. But I'd like to see him maybe next week on that first kickoff team or that first punt team or that first kickoff return team. And that's when you start realizing a lot of things that's going to happen next week, especially when it comes to the team's games or guys that are teetering on that 53. So a lot of guys today, you know, like I said, having Miles out there running down. He was on the first kickoff team. You know, so if Miles has a chance right now with all these guys they brought in, his best chance is probably going to be on teams, but it's going to be tough on him. I wish they'd have had him running kicks back. Yeah. You know, just all that stuff to give guys a chance. Because when you bring in three or four running backs, I mean, most of those guys have the best chance of making his squad, obviously. And the guys that have been there, even Ahmed got the opportunities late in that game, you know, and it wasn't very good because we didn't run the ball well at all. But, I mean – we didn't talk about Chase. Chase didn't run it well, but boy, did he catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, he did.
He's going to be something to deal with out of the backfield. Yeah, man.
We talked about the space, about how the Twitter space, how the space on the field will get created. He's going to sneak in there. That play that Tua had where he extended, that's a Texas route, and you saw the speed right away.
Oh, man, that's going to be fun right there. See, I mean, that's, so there's different things. There's different ways.
And the third down play, right?
Right, exactly right. And then you got, you know, you can find ways to get the ball to Chase. Edmonds.
2 for 21 receiving
game. It's unbelievable.
That first name base. You get the ball to him on a swing.
Did you
like
ride over on the bus with the guys? Like,
yeah. We had breakfast and I was out there with two. You didn't see me? Me and two out there at 2:30.
He was throwing to you, right?
Yeah. You know, but you've got an opportunity right there where you don't have to hand it to him. You can swing it to him for 4 or 5 yards, and that's like a run play.
Stretch
you know,
out.
Get the ball. If we can ever get our screen game down, man, we'd be incredible as a team. So certain things we have to work on. We can't run it per se between the tackles. Maybe he can run an off tackle, but some of those other plays, and you see Chase Edmonds getting the ball in space, is dangerous, man. I mean, making guys miss, that's got to be a nightmare for a linebacker to see him out in space and got to try to bring him down with the speed, his moves, you know, stop and go ability. That's That's a tough deal right there, man. So he's going to create some problems for sure.
This whole offense is about vertical and horizontal stretch. He definitely takes care of that horizontal aspect.
Sending all these guys on nines, and I hit him on the drop, you know, jump it down and let him go to work.
Yeah, we just need all these guys on the field.
That's
same.
Get them all
we'll
back.
See it. When we see that, then we'll get a true evaluation.
See it sooner than later.
Yeah. Hopefully this week at joint practices, right,
yeah.
Juice, coming out?
I'll be there.
Take a look at the Eagles with us. That'll be fun to have for you guys next week.
All my Eagle friends, I can't wait to beat them up this week.
I'm looking forward to it. It's our next action, next time we get on the field, I think is Tuesday, the first practice back, and then training camp's over after this week. But we have one more segment here, guys. Seth's fired up about that. That was your Lexus drive of the game, real life, real luxury, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. Dolphins postgame is also driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Volkswagen, also sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Raiders 15, Dolphins 13. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show presented by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage. So next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And guys, we have one more preseason game. We have three more training camp practices. Two of those are with the Philadelphia Eagles next week. We get to talk to the assistant coaches this week. We get to talk to Coach McDaniel as well. So plenty of stuff coming your way on the Drive Time podcast, my new motto. I just came up with it last week, I think, because if the Dolphins are on the field, I'm on the mic. I think it sounds pretty good. I like that
okay,
one. So that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
And Juice, maybe you can come by the studio and talk some ball with me. I don't know if you're down for that, but after practice, maybe pop in there and talk.
I will bring my sweaty self in there, man. We'll get it in, man. Come in there and freeze to death inside the studio.
I always bring it. Just bring a change of shirt. Bring it every day because I don't get a chance to shower in there. So it's 6 hours of work, and like you mentioned, being
just careful, Juice. He might try and set you up like he set me up last
just
time.
Just to get him in trouble.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat, though. I'm just going to the studio and I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the workouts.
Come with me. You're welcome down here anyway.
I don't have that authority. I am excited about the workouts this week, man. It's nice to get two teams where you're doing the combined practices with, man. You know,
it's kind of like getting that extra preseason game.
It's better than that, man. It really is, man. You get all the situational stuff you can do with other teams that you won't necessarily see in a game. You know, the script, the way it's scripted out.
And your ones get more reps.
Ones get more reps with their ones and things like that. So it's the best work you can get in the preseason. And that's why we talked about before, man. These games, they're okay. They mean a lot to some guys, but for the most part, for coaches, their evaluation has been in the practices and definitely in these joint practices.
Yeah, it's last week with the Buccaneers, he talked about it, Coach did, about how if he sees a certain look or certain things that happens, he's okay with not playing guys in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Have to imagine that's the case again this week. So looking forward to that. Drive Time podcast, we'll have you guys updated on all that. We also have another episode of the Fish Tank podcast. Kevin Carter last week, great episode again, guys. I tell you all the time, Seth, those guys from the early 2000s, kind of my era is when I really got into this team. So those ones are always much appreciated. But now we get another guy coming up that was a couple of years after that here in the tank this week.
Yeah, well, he actually got here at the same time as Kevin Carter, but made his name in Miami, a name that everyone will remember, Cleo Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Cleo Lemon, a lot of people probably don't even know where Cleo is, but he's right up the road in Jacksonville there. We got a chance to talk to Cleo, and it's fascinating because it's a name people chuckle when they hear it. You know, Lemon's kind of fun to hear that. And we all remember one play, that 64-yarder. That where was it, Juice? Right, heading right into the end zone.
Right into my lap.
Camarillo.
Yeah, there it is. And so Cleo Lemon had to throw that ball to make Greg Camarillo a cult hero. But Cleo's story outside of that one isolated moment is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. The road that guy had to take to get to an NFL roster. And it was really cool to speak with him. I didn't know Cleo at all. And, you know, he couldn't have been any more gracious with his time. And we're excited to put that one out on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. Yeah, I didn't know him as well. I was just a fan watching the games as well. But I tell you, to hear his journey, like a lot of journeys we've heard, I mean, this one here is second to none. It really is, man. And, you know, everybody only sees the end result when they're playing in Hard Rock or Pro Player or Joe Robbie, whatever stadium we're in. Hard Rock right now, you know. But how they got there, You know, I mean, that's always impressive to us, man. And this guy's story is incredible.
I think a great example of that is the picture you sent me last night with Doug Flutie, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, and then Cleo Lemon. Look at that room. It's like there's one guy here that probably isn't going to play in an NFL game, but he did.
He sure did.
Got himself out there.
And that room, that quarterback room, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Brian Schottenheimer was the QB coach.
There you go. Yeah. I knew I recognized him. I didn't know the name right off the top.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins radio network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game, AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here live for NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the National Football League. Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. And guys, we didn't get a chance to do game balls today, although Travis had about 12 he wanted to hand out. I gave about six of them out right there in that last segment. But we do have the drive of the game. Let's go ahead and get to our Lexus drive of the game. Real life, real luxury. Explore the possibilities with Lexus at the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event now through September 6th. Learn more at Lexus.com/offers. And it was capped off with a touchdown pass from Skylar Thompson to Zaquandre White.
Second and six from the 19 of the Raiders. Dolphins trail by six. Skylar Thompson floats it. He's got a nice catch down the sideline. Touchdown, Miami. Zaquandre White, the running back, snuck out of the backfield. Made a nice catch. A perfect throw by Skylar Thompson.
Jimmy put some air under that. Let White run right under it. Run right in the end zone. But always excited for a guy, rookie free agent, to make a play like that.
Plays 86 yards, and that touchdown there from Skylar Thompson to Zaquandre White. And Seth, the first thing you said to me after that play there was, how big is that back? What was he, 225? Or
6'2", 215, is what he's listed at. And he looked pretty nimble.
Yeah, nice footwork right there. Right? Great ball. First of all,
and he went out and
got it.
Great, that's a great ball. Nice little lead right there. Got it on the fingertips, but then to put on the brakes, you know what I mean, and to get in the end zone. I thought he celebrated a little early. Got to be careful in this league, man. They're pretty fast, man.
I thought you might like that part.
Dancing inside the five. I'm going to get – man, my high school coach told us to run through the end zone. You know, I did that until I got, you know, later into the pros. I started dancing 15 yards.
Splits and the whole thing.
The whole nine. Every, you name it. The spike was always key for me. But, I mean, great throw, great grab, you know what I mean, getting in the end zone. And then once again, you know, what did Coach call him, Z-White?
Z-White, yeah.
We were confused about that at first, Z-White. But now we got to figure it
you
out.
You guys were.
Yeah, okay. Z-White did a heck of a job, man, getting in the end zone. But once again, we keep bringing up the same name, right? Skylar Thompson.
Good things are happening. Skylar Thompson's in the game.
I'm glad you said that he went and got it, Seth, because I was like, I don't think he's getting to that pass. And then all of a sudden, he takes a little accelerator there, learns from Tyreek Hill, and takes that sixth gear.
What the thing about, he gave him a chance to get it. It wasn't like he threw a fastball at him, you know what I mean, where guys just overshoot that wide-open guy. It wasn't a laser beam, but it still had a little bit enough to, you know, to go get it.
So this is interesting here, this dynamic right now, and I don't know if it's because the PM's about to turn to the AM juice, but typically, you know, it's always the quarterback's fault, the receiver, and here you got the guy who caught the ball, and we're trying to give him some praise for going to get it, and you're saying, well, yeah, I mean, of course, he got a chance.
Yeah. See,
now it's after quarter. I can't win.
I don't know, man, Seth. You know, it depends, man. It depends on, you know, the moon for me, you know.
Can you see it from here?
No, I can't see it, but I can sense it. Sense at the tide, you know. But yeah, great, another great play and a great drive, Travis. It really was, man. And, you know, finally getting the end zone. I think that was our first and only touchdown.
Tua Tagovailoa said in his presser, it was the first touchdown scored here in Hard Rock Stadium in the 2022 season.
Under head coach Mike McDaniel.
Sounded like he was doing a voiceover for the end of the year team video highlight reel.
Sounded like me on the gate loop beginning of the game out there. Over my list of things you can't bring in. No, it's a 9-play, 86-yard drive, 19 yards, Skylar Thompson to Zaquandre White. And frankly, he could have made my list there of all the guys I handed out. I don't know what I called that. It wasn't
on
game
that
balls.
Play?
No, just the game he had in general. I thought he was impressive. I mean, the one play, it's like
on
Seth,
that play.
It's kind of like Seth mentioned, right? It's like watching four games out here. If a guy makes a couple of plays, I guess he only had one rush for 4 yards, and then he winds up with the one catch for 19 yards.
So, yeah,
and a touchdown.
It's on that play.
So, yeah, it was that play. But, you know, it's to me, it's more about confirming things you've seen so far through training camp. And he's, right. you know, he's buried in the roster. Let's not make any mistakes about that, because there's so many backs in this team that, that were brought in to make this running back room better. Yeah. But he was a guy, Juice, at South Carolina that was – He would press that thing play side and get back to that cutback lane. That's what you do in this outside zone scheme. And I tweeted about it, you know, when the play happened. If he can add that element to his game, then he might have a chance here to.
Well, what he can add to his game is special teams.
There you go.
You know what I mean? And it's like there's going to be a big, there's going to be a huge, huge, you know, practice squad as well. I mean, you got a guy right there that, you know, you keep making plays no matter what. They'll find a way to hopefully keep you around. But I'd like to see him maybe next week on that first kickoff team or that first punt team or that first kickoff return team. And that's when you start realizing a lot of things that's going to happen next week, especially when it comes to the team's games or guys that are teetering on that 53. So a lot of guys today, you know, like I said, having Miles out there running down. He was on the first kickoff team. You know, so if Miles has a chance right now with all these guys they brought in, his best chance is probably going to be on teams, but it's going to be tough on him. I wish they'd have had him running kicks back. Yep. You know, just all that stuff to give guys a chance. Because when you bring in three or four running backs, I mean, most of those guys have the best chance of making his squad, obviously. And the guys that have been there, even Ahmed got the opportunities late in that game, you know, and it wasn't, obviously wasn't very good because we didn't run the ball well at all. But, I mean, we didn't even talk about Chase. Chase didn't run it well,
say,
but boy, did he catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, he did.
He's going to be something to deal with out of the backfield.
Yeah,
man.
We talked about the space, about how the Twitter space, how the space on the field will get created, and he's going to sneak in there. That play that Tua had where he extended, that's a Texas route, and you saw the speed right away.
Oh, man, Juice. That's going to be fun right there. See, I mean, that's, so there's different things. There's different ways.
And the third down play, right?
Right, exactly right. And then you got, you know, you can find ways to get the ball to Chase. Edmonds.
2 for 21 receiving.
It's unbelievable.
First name base. You get the ball to him on a swing.
Did you
like
ride over on the bus with the guys? Like,
yeah. We had breakfast and I was out there with two. You didn't see me? Me and two out there at 2:30.
He was throwing to you, right?
Yeah. You know, but you've got an opportunity right there where it doesn't. You don't have to hand it to him. You can swing it to him for 4 or 5 yards, and that's like a run play.
Stretch
you know, get the ball. If we can ever get our screen game down, man, we'd be incredible as a team. So certain things we have to work on. We can't run it per se between the tackles. Maybe you can run an off tackle, but some of those other plays, you see Chase Edmonds getting the ball in space, is dangerous, man. I mean, making guys miss. That's got to be a nightmare for a linebacker to see him out in space and got to try to bring him down with the speed, his moves, you know, stop and go ability. That's a tough deal right there, man. So he's going to create some problems for sure.
This whole offense is about vertical and horizontal stretch. He definitely takes care of that horizontal aspect.
Sending all these guys on nines, and I hit him on the drop, you know, jump it down and let him go to work.
Yeah, we just need all these guys on the field at the same time.
Get them all back.
We'll see it. When we see that, then we'll get a true evaluation.
See it sooner than later.
Yeah. Hopefully this week at joint practices, right, Juice, coming out?
I'll be there.
Take a look at the Eagles with us. That'll be fun to have for you guys next week.
All my Eagle friends. I can't wait to beat them up this week.
I'm looking forward to it. It's our next action, next time we get on the field, I think is Tuesday, the first practice back, and then training camp's over after this week. But we have one more segment here, guys. Seth's fired up about that. That was your Lexus Drive of the Game, real life, real luxury, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. Dolphins postgame is also driven by Gunther Volkswagen. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther Volkswagen, also sponsored by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Raiders 15, Dolphins 13. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show presented by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage. So next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And guys, we have one more preseason game. We have three more training camp practices. Two of those are with the Philadelphia Eagles next week. We get to talk to the assistant coaches this week. We get to talk to Coach McDaniel as well. So plenty of stuff coming your way on the Drive Time podcast. My new motto, I just came up with it last week, I think, is if the Dolphins are on the field, I'm on the mic. I think it sounds pretty good. I like that one.
Okay,
so that's what I'm going with.
Okay.
And Juice, maybe you can come by the studio and talk some ball with me. I don't know if you're down for that, but after practice, maybe pop in there and talk.
I will bring my sweaty self in there, man. We'll get it in, man. Come in there and freeze to death inside the studio.
I always bring it. Just bring a change of shirt. I bring it every day because I don't get a chance to shower in there. So it's 6 hours of work, and like you mentioned, being just
careful,
sweaty.
Juice. He might try and set you up like he set me up last
just
time
to get him in trouble.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat though. I'm just going to the studio and I'm out. Yeah. I'm excited about the workouts.
Come with me. You're welcome down here anyway. I don't have that authority.
I am excited about the workouts this week, man. It's nice to get two teams where you're doing the combined practices with, man. You know,
it's kind of like getting that extra preseason game.
It's better than that, man. It really is, man. You get all the situational stuff you can do with other teams that you won't necessarily see in a game. You know, the script, the way it's scripted out.
And your ones get more reps.
Ones get more reps with their ones and things like that. So it's the best work you can get in the preseason. And that's why we talked about before, man, these games, they're okay. They mean a lot to some guys, but for the most part, for coaches, their evaluation has been in the practices and definitely in these joint practices.
Yeah, it's last week with the Buccaneers, he talked about it, coach did, about how if he sees a certain look or certain things that happens, he's okay with not playing guys in the game. Mm-hmm. Have to imagine that's the case again this week. So looking forward to that. Drive Time Podcast, we'll have you guys updated on all that. We also have another episode of the Fish Tank Podcast. Kevin Carter last week, great episode again, guys. I tell you all the time, Seth, those guys from the early 2000s, kind of my era is when I really got into this team. So those ones are always much appreciated. But now we get another guy coming up that was a couple of years after that here in the tank this week.
Yeah, well, he actually got here at the same time as Kevin Carter, but made his name in Miami, a name that everyone will remember, Cleo Lemon. Mm-hmm. Cleo Lemon, a lot of people probably don't even know where Cleo is, but he's right up the road in Jacksonville there. We got a chance to talk to Cleo, and it's fascinating because it's a name people chuckle when they hear it. You know, Lemon's kind of fun to hear that. And we all remember one play, that 64-yarder. That where was it, Juice? Right, heading right into the end zone.
Right into my lap.
Camarillo.
Yeah, there it is. And so Cleo Lemon had to throw that ball to make Greg Camarillo a cult hero. But Cleo's story outside of that one isolated moment is unbelievable. The road that guy had to take to get to an NFL roster. And it was really cool to speak with him. I didn't know Cleo at all. And, you know, he couldn't have been any more gracious with his time. And we're excited to put that one out on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. Yeah, I didn't know him as well. I was just a fan watching the games as well. But I tell you, to hear his journey, like a lot of journeys we've heard, I mean, this one here is second to none. It really is, man. And, you know, everybody only sees the end result when they're playing in Hard Rock or Pro Player or Joe Robbie, whatever stadium we're in. Hard Rock right now, you know. But how they got there, you know, I mean, that's always impressive to us, man. And this guy's story is incredible.
I think a great example of that is the picture you sent me last night with Doug Flutie, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, and then Cleo Lemon. Look at that room, it's like there's one guy here that probably isn't going to play in an NFL game, but he did.
Sure he did. Sure
he got
did.
Himself out there.
And that room, that quarterback room, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Brian Schottenheimer was the QB coach.
There you go. Yeah. I knew I recognized him. I didn't know the name right off the top
photo.
Of my head, but that's a great photo. Looking forward to that episode. We also have our Twitter Spaces show on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock where the three of us talk some Dolphins football, and you guys can come in there and ask us questions. It's a lot of fun. Every single Wednesday, 8 o'clock on Twitter. If you understand how to operate Spaces, you can find that. We had a tough time figuring it out at first, but now I think we're seasoned pros at this point, guys. We got
but Seth's always waiting on Spaces, though. Always waiting on Twitter Spaces.
I love that line, man. That's my favorite. Thanks for the fins up video. That's going to do it for us here tonight, guys. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cephalo, our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana, our studio producers, Robert Griepert, Jimmy Garcia, and Matt Wilson. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray, Steph the Specialist.
Steph!
Our post-game engineer was Steph the Specialist. I don't know why I jumped that line right there. It's midnight. Give me a break here. For O.J. McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game was 15-13. I remember that one again this time, Juice. Dolphins football will be back on the air next Saturday for the team's final preseason game, Dolphins and Eagles, on August 27th here at Hard Rock Stadium. Again, that's next Saturday versus Philadelphia. This has been the Miami Dolphins post-game show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins Radio Network, where Dolphins fans live.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage. So next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. And guys, we have one more preseason game. We have three more training camp practices. Two of those are with the Philadelphia Eagles next week. We get to talk to the assistant coaches this week. We get to talk to Coach McDaniel as well. So plenty of stuff coming your way on the Drive Time podcast, my new motto. I just came up with it last week, I think, is if the Dolphins are on the field, I'm on the mic. I think it sounds pretty good. I like that one. Okay, so that's what I'm going with. Okay. And Juice, maybe you can come by the studio and talk some ball with me. I don't know if you're down for that, but after practice, maybe pop in there and talk some.
I will bring my sweaty self in there, man. We'll get it in, man. Come in there and freeze to death inside the studio.
I always bring it. Just bring a change of shirt. It's all I bring it every day because I don't get a chance to shower in there. So it's 6 hours of work, and like you mentioned, being
just careful, Juice. He might try and set you up like he set me up last
just
time.
Just to get him in trouble.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat, though. I'm just going to the studio and I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the workouts.
Come with me. You're welcome. You're welcome down here anyway. I don't have that authority.
I am excited about the workouts this week, man. It's nice to get two teams where you're doing the combined practices with, man.
It's kind of like getting that extra preseason game.
It's better than that, man. It really is, man. You get all the situational stuff you can do with other teams that you won't necessarily see in a game. You know, the script, the way it's scripted out.
And your ones get more reps.
Ones get more reps with their ones and things like that. So it's the best work you can get in the preseason. And that's why we talked about before, man, these games, they're okay. They mean a lot to some guys, but for the most part, for coaches, their evaluation has been in the practices and definitely in these joint practices.
Yeah, it's last week with the Buccaneers, he talked about it, Coach did, about how if he sees a certain look or certain things that happens, he's okay with not playing guys in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Have to imagine that's the case again this week. So looking forward to that. Drive Time podcast, we'll have you guys updated on all that. We also have another episode of the Fish Tank podcast. Kevin Carter last week, great episode again, guys. I tell you all the time, Seth, those guys from the early 2000s, kind of my era is when I really got into this team. So those ones are always much appreciated. But now we get another guy coming up that was a couple of years after that here in the tank this week.
Yeah, well, he actually got here at the same time as Kevin Carter, but made his name in Miami, a name that everyone will remember, Cleo Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Cleo Lemon, a lot of people probably don't even know where Cleo is, but he's right up the road in Jacksonville there. We got a chance to talk to Cleo, and it's fascinating because it's a name people chuckle when they hear it. You know, Lemon's kind of fun to hear that. And we all remember one play, that 64-yarder. Where was it, Juice? Right, heading right into the end zone.
Right into my lap.
Camarillo.
Yeah, there it is. And so Cleo Lemon had to throw that ball to make Greg Camarillo a cult hero. But Cleo's story outside of that one isolated moment is unbelievable. It's unbelievable the road that guy had to take to get to an NFL roster. And it was really cool to speak with him. I didn't know Cleo at all. And, he couldn't have been any more gracious with his time. And we're excited to put that one out on Tuesday.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. Yeah, I didn't know him as well. I was just a fan watching the games as well. But I tell you, to hear his journey, like a lot of journeys we've heard, I mean, this one here is second to none. It really is, man. And, you know, everybody only sees the end result when they're playing in Hard Rock or Pro Player or Joe Robbie, whatever stadium we're in, Hard Rock right now, you know. But how they got there, you know, I mean, that's always impressive to us, man. And this guy's story is incredible.
I think a great example of that is the picture you sent me last night with Doug Flutie, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers, and then Cleo Lemon.
And Cleo
you
Lemon.
Look at that room, it's like there's one guy here that – probably isn't going to play in an NFL game, but he did.
He sure did.
He got himself out there.
And that room, that quarterback room, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Brian Schottenheimer was the QB coach.
There you go. Yeah. I knew I recognized him. I didn't know the name right off the top
photo.
Of my head, but that's a great photo. Looking forward to that episode. We also have our Twitter Spaces show on Wednesdays at 8 o'clock where the three of us talk some Dolphins football, and you guys can come in there and ask us questions. It's a lot of fun. Every single Wednesday, 8 o'clock on Twitter. If you understand how to operate Spaces, you can find that. We had a tough time figuring it out at first, but now I think we're seasoned pros at this point, guys. We got
but Seth's always waiting on Spaces. So always waiting on Twitter Spaces.
I love that line, man. This is my favorite thing from the Fins Up video. That's going to do it for us here tonight, guys. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso in Council Oak, and much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, and the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cephalo, our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana, our studio producers, Robert Griepert, Jimmy Garcia, and Matt Wilson. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray, Steph the Specialist.
Steph!
Our post-game engineer was Steph the Specialist. I don't know why I jumped that line right there. It's midnight. Give me a break here. For O.J. McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game was 15-13. I remembered that one again this time, Juice. Dolphins football will be back on the air next Saturday for the team's final preseason game, Dolphins and Eagles, on August 27th here at Hard Rock Stadium. Again, that's next Saturday versus Philadelphia. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. The